All right, this is Mary Glair returning again for another snippet to our Pay It Forward project for pregnant women. And with me here today to talk about postpartum depression and what you can do about it, especially if you're wanting something a little alternative, a little off of the Western beaten path, is Joanne Amaya Cohen. She is a women's herbalist, and she's going to talk to us about herbs, and she's going to talk to us about some flower essences so that you can, just as soon as you get off of the call today, have a couple of each bits of information, and you can run with them. So are you there, Joanne? Are you with us?
I am. I'm very excited and honored to be here.
Oh, yeah, thank you. I'm honored to have you. You have quite a list of offerings, I know. We've been, like you said, sort of charting some of the same waters for some time, and so I'm familiar with your work. And so I'd love for you to, if you don't mind, just start off talking about why do you think, you know, why is the postpartum period, why is that so overlooked? Women.
Yeah. It's, you know, I was a birth doula and midwife assistant and childbirth educator for 8 years. So I feel like I know this part of a woman's life very intimately.
Mm-hmm.
And I think just naturally when a woman's pregnant, she tends to focus on what's happening to her now and then also preparing for labor and birth. And it makes sense. It's the next thing that's kind of coming up.
Right.
And what I've heard from a lot of women is that in the postpartum, they feel like, wow, I really didn't put attention and focus on learning everything that I could possibly learn. And then when you're actually in postpartum, you just don't have the time or energy to be reading books and to be educating yourself in the same way.
Right.
So I think that that's why it's partially just from our own process of not necessarily looking that far ahead. And then I also think we don't necessarily have women in our lives who are really sitting down with us and sharing, you know, really mm-hmm. sharing the beautiful pieces and the messy pieces of postpartum.
Mm-hmm.
And so
mm-hmm.
a lot of women enter into that time period feeling really ill-equipped and really overwhelmed and
mm-hmm.
Really unsure of themselves.
I totally agree. I often, you know, when I start talking in my own way with clients about postpartum and so forth, you know, like one woman even just recently said this to Stephanie, she's like, oh, yeah, I'm going to have to take this thing home. Like,
right.
Okay. So
yes.
Well, how can women flourish, you know, like when we're thinking about the alternatives to that then?
Yeah, I mean, it's such a massive topic because
mm-hmm.
every woman is coming to this conversation with different tools and insights and education. And ultimately, the biggest, if I had to come up with one thing, you know, of how a woman can flourish in postpartum, it would be support.
Mm-hmm.
And support means something different for every single woman, and that's why it's really important if you're listening to this to just get really honest about what that means for you. So for some families, support means, you know, having their mothers in town and having their mothers take care of them. And for another woman, that's actually her worst nightmare, you know. So she might need somebody just coming into her house and cooking and cleaning, or a dear friend coming over and massaging her feet, or
mm-hmm.
there's so many different ways that support can show up in our lives. And
mm-hmm.
even with the most amazing, incredible partner, he or she will still need support because especially in that first month, everything kind of gets handed over to the partner, and they're also wanting to have their own experience of parenthood.
Mm-hmm.
And when they're busy doing the dishes, going grocery shopping, you know, cooking all the meals, then they don't get to drop in the same way and have an experience of connecting to their baby.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't mean that somebody has to spend a lot of money by any means. There's so many of my clients have done this. There's a website where you can set up meal trains where you can ask all your friends to sign up and bring you food, and you can have a stocked fridge or freezer for a month. And, of course, then you can also hire people to support you. But support, 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 whether that's emotional, physical, spiritual, it will be the thing that most helps a woman, and it's the thing that's most challenging for women to ask for.
We
have a tendency to think we can do it all our own, or our moms did it all on their own, or our sisters did it. But just because somebody else did doesn't mean that that's the way you have to do it. And if you're suffering at all, it's necessary. And I think for this whole conversation that you're having about pregnancy or labor and birth or postpartum, there's a really, really fine line between empowerment and suffering. Really fine. And as soon as you wobble over into suffering, everything can move into a very challenging, traumatic experience. And so if we can catch a woman before that happens through supporting her, then she will flourish. And when a mama flourishes, everyone flourishes.
Well, and I love the part of your message where you're just saying, you know, like this, the way to make this happen is through planning ahead, because, you know, once you're actually in the postpartum period, not only are you overwhelmed and that's when you're just trying to kind of like coordinate and put everything together, but, you know, our brains aren't really designed, you know, in that post-birth stage to, there, you know, everything in our body hormonally is set up for a totally different process. And, you know, so yeah, like whatever of these many, many different ideas that you just offered, you can have put into place already, you know, have set up ahead of time, you know, like that seems really huge.
Yeah, and I think for a lot of women, all of these conversations can feel really surreal. And so if a woman doesn't know what she might need to put into place, like just like what you were saying, maybe put into place that her partner or her best friend or her mother is checking in with her, possibly daily or weekly, of what do you need? What do you need? What do you need? What do you need? And making sure that those needs are really addressed.
Yeah, it makes me think, too, of, you know, this was a couple of years ago, but I still really draw from this. This was a huge learning for me. I broke my foot, and there were plenty of people around willing to help me. And part of this thing too about like they would ask what you need, and then what was really helpful too was when people would offer a couple specific tangible ideas, because I didn't even they're like, well maybe I can get you some water. Well, maybe I can bring you something to eat. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I would like that. You know, like you said, this is a muscle that we as women, you know, don't often flex quite enough. And so.
Yes, for sure. Yeah, I think that's a good suggestion.
Yeah. So, well, what is, okay, so your specialty is herbs and plant-based medicine. So can you start off by just telling us what exactly, just in case somebody doesn't know, what is a plant-based medicine? What does that mean?
Yeah, so, well, I use herbal medicine to focus on symptomatic relief and support. And so I feel like a lot of women know about herbal medicine, right? You can go into most stores at this point, whether they're health food stores or even regular grocery stores, and find some sort of herbal tea. And the herbal teas or herbal tinctures really are addressing the physical, right? So you ingest like the physical plant of chamomile, and when you drink the tea, it nourishes the nervous system. So that's physical. And then I also use flower essences and really deep shamanic practices. And those are going to be working more on the emotional and spiritual parts of who we are. And so they're really perfect, in my opinion, a really perfect blend, because we need to focus on the symptomatic relief because women just want to feel better. But ultimately, all of this stuff is coming from the emotional. This is just like what you were saying before of, you know, a woman could be having a lot of irritability and agitation. Mm-hmm. And so there's plenty of herbs that I can give her to help with, you know, decreasing that and help with the hormonal balancing of the irritability. And yet there's this other kind of more layered piece that she's not asking for support. And why is she not asking for support? And so we can use flower essences to really address those kind of deeper emotional pieces so that the whole picture is being focused on rather than just one morsel of it.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense.
some herbs just don't really they're not meant to deal with the emotional component. You know, so when a new mom is feeling overwhelmed, there's no herb for overwhelm, but there's flower essences for overwhelm. There's flower essences for courage, or that, you know, that constant repetitive worry that new moms can often feel. Is their baby okay? Is their baby getting enough milk? Is, you know, all of that that can often lead to overwhelm. So the flower essences are going to focus and address more of those real emotional pieces.
Well, what's nice about this is we, you know, as we start to think about, you know, the title of postpartum depression is, you know, like some people can start to really get hung up with like, well, I mean, am I clinically depressed? I don't know if I qualify for, I'm not technically postpartum depression, but, you know, like, and certainly if you go to your doctor, some of those conversations are what you can expect, you know, some to really delineate. But what I'm kind of starting to think about just as you're talking is like, you know, like if you feel out of balance in any way and you would like just more support for the sake of feeling good,
then
we can absolutely start right there, you know.
Exactly. And you know what's interesting about that point is in my practice, what I see more than anything is postpartum anxiety rather than postpartum depression. And it's just, you know, there's an overwhelm, you're tired, and all of those kind of compound into feeling anxious. And what happens for a lot of women is they normalize those symptoms. Well, I'm just supposed to feel anxious. Like, this is, it's all new, and it's kind of crazy, and I'm so sleep deprived. And we normalize things when more than one person has experienced it. And being anxious, being depressed, whatever it is that we're talking about, does not need to be your normal at all. And so just like what you're saying, like if you're experiencing anything, it's way easier to catch it, you know, when it's first starting to percolate than when it's full blown out. And especially with herbs and flower essences, I've had so many clients say to me within 5 to 7 days, oh my gosh, I feel like me.
Like a different
and
person.
We wait. Most women wait like months and months and months to actually take
action.
Cute.
Yeah.
Right. And then it's like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I waited this long. So, you know, part of this conversation, whether it's support or herbs or flower essences, is really a reminder of, you know, holding a vision for flourishing rather than just normalizing feeling crappy or feeling anxious or feeling overwhelmed. That doesn't have to be a woman's normal at all.
Okay. So some people that are listening to this might be in, you know, in that acute stage where this is, you know, they're already in it and this is already happening. And so we certainly want to send the message to you if that's the case that, yeah, like, you know, there is support for you. You know, we're going to, I'll ask you for your contact information in just a little bit in case, you know, anybody's like, oh my gosh, I need to talk to Joanne. but I'm curious, you know, before we get to that, what, in terms of this idea of support and preparing ahead of time, specifically around plant-based medicines, you know, like, is there something that women can do before they hit this postpartum stage?
Oh, that's a good question, Mary.
Or is it kind of one of those things where you wait and just sort of just see how things land as they land, you know?
I think it's probably a good mix of both. I think the more honest a woman can be in her self-reflection and self-inquiry during pregnancy, leading up to birth, leading up to motherhood, the greater her knowingness of what she will need will be. So what I mean by that is, you know, I have clients who start working with me before postpartum, just so we can start to set the container or start to set some structures up so that if they need support in postpartum, yes, they can call me, but they also already have some tools and tricks up their sleeve that they can use. And sometimes that means bringing in their partner. Sometimes that means some of my clients actually ask me for a flower essence to be made just so they have it, just in case, and that when they start to feel issues, they can just start taking it rather than waiting to make an appointment with me, waiting for me to send the formula, you know, and then another week has gone by. So some people, some of my clients really do prepare in that way. And then I think, again, there's that fine line of just not letting your mind get so crazy. There is such a big fear of postpartum depression, especially if a woman's had history of depression in her life. And I've seen women go crazy doing everything that they can do beforehand to avoid it, to prevent it. And it actually ends up almost being worse because they've psyched themselves up so big for it.
Right.
So I think ultimately it comes down to just taking some time to just get really honest with yourself, what you think, because most women really do know themselves. I mean, we know ourselves better than anyone else, our partners, our doctors, our midwives. And so just getting really clear with what you might think you will need, and does it feel better to kind of set things up prior, or if you want to just wait and see how things land, but then being really proactive at that point. That makes sense.
It's perfect.
Yeah,
I think that just as in most things, you know, life is a blend of being in the moment and taking things as they come and seeing what actually happens, and, you know, and then also taking some reasonable steps to set yourself up for as much success as you can, you know, so that's kind of what it sounds like you're, reflecting. So.
And I just want to add one thing that, you know, being honest isn't always easy. You know, there's women place a lot of pressure on themselves to be perfect. And so sometimes when we're honest, some shame comes up about what it is that we might really, really need to have for us to feel really good and supported and nourished and nurtured and all of those things. So I say it almost like it sounds simple to get really honest, but I've worked with so many women, you know, even if we're talking about labor, who I know deep inside they really want an epidural, but they say they want a natural birth. And so when there's that conflict inside of you where you're just not being truthful and honest with yourself, because ultimately it's all about the experience that you want to have. And it doesn't matter to me, you know. I want a woman to just get really honest with herself so that she has a really powerful experience. And sometimes it's not easy. So, you know, I'm just saying this with, like, hold yourself in a lot of love when you're doing some internal introspection about what your truths are, what you really need, what you potentially might need, and just be okay with whatever that is, because it's beautiful.
I'm glad you mentioned that. That's very well put. So, so Joanne, if anybody is interested, as we kind of wrap up, I want to offer a way that people can get in touch with you if they want to learn more, or if they want to, you know, set something up to potentially work with you. How would they do that?
Of course. I'd love to share. I just have to say I love any time from fertility to postpartum. I love. But there's something about postpartum women that just, like, really melts my heart, because I've seen them struggle so much. And there is, everyone gets so excited about the pregnancy and the birth, and even in those first, you know, 2 weeks of postpartum. And then the excitement dwindles, or family members leave, and there's a real sense of isolation. And I really do feel like postpartum is one of the most misunderstood parts of our cycle of womanhood. And so I really feel a lot of deep tenderness for supporting postpartum women. And so with that said, you know, if there's lots of information on my website to read. There's lots of videos, like lots of free information, because that's really important to me. And then, of course, if somebody wants to work one-on-one, that's available. My website is just my name. So it's JoanneAmeaCohen.com. And I'm sure you'll have a link, you know, so people can click there. But it's JoanneAmeaCohen.com.
Okay, so just to spell that out right now for anybody that wants to go straight there, that's J-O-A-N-N-E. And I'll let you take it from here just so I don't make a little detail mistake.
Okay, so it's J-O-N-N-E-A-M, like Mary, A-M-E-Y-A-C-O-H-E-N.com.
.com, perfect. Wonderful. Well, thank you so, so much, Joanne. I feel the possibility of like a probably an hour or 2 hour long conversation.
I know,
right there
know,
available.
I feel like
for
we could
here.
Talk. Yeah.
I know.
It's really it's an important. I mean, the whole conversation of the childbearing years is important for women to just get really super turned on and empowered in their health and wellness. So I love this project.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate that, the acknowledgement, and I appreciate you being here. And everybody find Joanne at JoanneAmeaCohen.com, and we'll see you on the next clip. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.